So today is the second day of retreat, 12th March 2017. We just had our dinner. Then normally after dinner, not so good to have meditation. But we schedule it that way. So you want meditation or you want Dhamma discussion first? After Sunday you meditate. It's up to you. And maybe after meal, Dhamma discussion first. Okay. So meditation we will do later. Okay. So we'll continue with our Heart Sutta sharing. Turn to page 11. We are at the third Heart Sutta class. Dated 26 February 2012. There was a question. Why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua instead of going into the Heart Sutta teaching direct? Because there was one, Kayana Mitta. He said, why do we go into the introduction, just tell about Xuan Hua's story and all those things? Why not we go direct to the Heart Sutta? She can't understand. If can, I would also like to do that. But there are reasons for it. So I will answer it and you will understand the meaning. So the answer I gave was a very good question. It will be like building a high-rise building without having a stable foundation. So being a civil engineer, I know this. You must have the base done up, foundation. As I have explained, the Heart Sutta is a very profound teaching, and it must be understood that without a proper foundation being taught to you, it is almost impossible to understand this teaching. Unless some of you have had some very strong past cultivation to help support you in the understanding of this sutta. Hence, this is the reason why I started off by introducing to you the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, followed by an in-depth explanation of the meaning of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind in the first Heart Sutta class. This is to help establish a basis for you to understand the great similarity between Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching and that of the Heart Sutta as expounded by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Both teachers emphasize the importance of understanding the five aggregates of form and mind and why they are all empty, that is, anatta and sunyata. Sunyata is emptiness. Anatta is a very much deeper meaning than what was commonly translated. Most people translate as non-self. Some say it's not self. But the meaning is much more than that. It encompasses the empty nature of existence. That's why he said rupang anicang. Rupang also anatta. Rupang is form. Form where got life, where got self and non-self. But it's also anatta, which means anatta is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, and this can be mine. That's why it's not a self that you can cling on to. And because of that, when you understand anatta, since it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, everything that arises within the conditioned world are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why they are called phenomena. Whatever perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So with this understanding, you will come to understand all of phenomena are impermanent, lead to suffering, unreal, empty. This is what anatta's deeper meaning is. Then we move on. The introduction by Master Xuan Hua also explained how wonderful and full of wisdom this sutta is, and also why it is so important to read through this sutta diligently many times. Because each repetition will reveal to the reader a new depth or a new level of understanding, thus bringing about the immeasurable benefits. In a book 10 times its length, according to Master Xianhua, one could not fully praise its value as a key to the understanding of human life. Hence, the famous saying, true emptiness is wonderful existence. This is the famous saying of Heart Sutta. When you penetrate true emptiness, it's wonderful existence. Life becomes wonderful, meaningful, beautiful. When you truly understand who you are, what you are, and what the five aggregate of form and mind is. Hence, life and existence will become very meaningful and very wonderful once this Heart Sutta wisdom has been developed. Master Xianhua also stressed on the importance of real spiritual understanding rather than deep learning or knowledge-based understanding, only as a true prerequisite for expounding the Heart Sutta. So if it's just book knowledge, you cannot expound. Very difficult. The main concern of the Heart Sutta and all the other sutta that the Buddha spoke is simply the life and death of living being. When you want to understand life, you have to understand birth and death. Otherwise, you cannot understand life. Then answering question like, why must we avoid all evil to good and purify our mind? Why are we born? And where will we go when we die? What we must do while we are here? How we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? What is death? What dies? And who dies? Who are you? And what are you? What is life? How to understand its meaning and purpose? Have you ever thought of this question? You thought of this question, So what is your answer? No answer. That's why you are here. If you can have the answer, my daughter says you have been enlightened by now. So the second question is, why must we also study the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta? See, all these Kayanamita got a lot of questions. Because they feel that we are wasting time, but they cannot understand, they cannot appreciate. So I had to explain how this teaching can be understood, because without all these 6 Patriarch Sutta, all those things, it's very difficult for you to understand Heart Sutta. Because the 6 Patriarch Sutta is about developing the cultivation that is beyond thought, beyond mind, going direct to the true mind, true nature, essence of mind. Without that, it can never be the type of wisdom as expounded by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva through his Heart Sutta. The Heart Sutta is actually the perfection of Prajna, Prajna Paramita Sutta. That's why the title put there clearly. The Heart Sutta is a Prajna Paramita Sutta, it's a perfection of wisdom sutta. So when you have perfected all wisdom, you will be able to come out with the Heart Sutta teaching. It's a very summarized teaching. That is very profound, very, very profound. Okay, then I answer. As the Heart Sutta teaching is so profound because it is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond the conditioned world, hence we need to understand the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta, especially so the 2 famous poems written by Sun Siu and Hui Ning. Only then can we go beyond mind to understand the Heart Sutta, which is so abstract. With the sayings like, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. And therefore in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, etc. No eye, no ear, no sight, no sound, no feel of eye up to. And including no feel of mind consciousness, no ignorant, no ending of ignorance. Up to and including no old age, sickness and death. Or ending of it, and no for noble truth, and no understanding, and no attainment, etc. So all these are really, really abstract. Do you agree that it's abstract? On the one hand, you will question, the Buddha taught all these things, old age, birth and death, for noble truth. that people can attain enlightenment. Why the Heart Sutta say all this don't exist? Like very contradictory. Yeah? But you didn't read the opening sentence. He said, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Well, in true emptiness, you have realized the essence of my wish is unconditioned. And because it's unconditioned, that's why all this don't exist. The conditioned world has Dhamma, has birth, old age, sickness and death, has Four Noble Truths, has all these things that the Buddha taught. But within the unconditioned, there is no such thing, because it is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is the reason. Then we come to 1.3, Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. Based on his poem then, since you yet to realize the true mind, hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dhamma as realized by Huining. The reason being, he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence the delusion. In my second and third Heart Sutta classes recap, I dealt in more detail into Huining's Platform Sutta, and also taught you how to see form, the unreality of form, its condition arising or impermanent nature, and its non-self or empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding of all the other four aggregates of mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana are also impermanent, causes suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form is emptiness and emptiness is form. So now you all understand why I introduce all this teaching that is beyond mind. Otherwise, people cannot comprehend Heart Sutta. Then there's another section on mundane mind with and without the spiritual understanding. We can be very successful in life, both financially and career-wise, but both are mundane aspects of life. But without the spiritual understanding, we are still vulnerable, and many things can still afflict us, especially the First Noble Truth, its condition or realities of life and existence. This is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world once he saw the four signs of an old man, a very sick man, a dead man, and a samana, or a renounced holy man in robe. The then Buddha-to-be realized that he had a problem with regards to old age, sickness, and death. Hence, he seeked the spiritual understanding to gain the wisdom to free himself from this problem or situation. He then developed the spiritual understanding and became a samasam Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree. Without the true spiritual understanding or wisdom, one cannot be free from suffering, because one can still have fear, worry, anxiety, etc. We are one's own self-delusion, which will condition one to cling out to and grasp at one's five aggregate of form and mind. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating this spiritual understanding via meditation as taught by the Buddha, to enable one to live the noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then is there no more fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, and suffering, etc. The spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually lead to the enlightenment in the here and now. So just now all the questions that you want to answer, you wanted the answer and know, you can have it, provided you diligently cultivate and awaken. Then you will know who you are, what you are, and what life is all about. Yeah. Then when death occurs, who die, what die. Yeah. All this you will come to understand. They are not really mystical or difficult to comprehend. Okay, 1.4. In the recap, Brother Teo emphasized on the following. So this is a summary. In the early days, I like to put in the summary, because after many years of sharing, this nature realizer is very difficult for the living being to understand this teaching. That's the reason why a lot of them say, Ratio, why you keep on repeating all these things? Then I later told them, you think I repeat, because it has not gone in. That's why you think I repeat. But for those who understand, every time I look like I repeat, no, but I approach it from different angle, different aspect, and the teaching come out differently, beautifully. You can ask the Thursday class people. I have been sharing at Brother Sui An and Mifong's house, the Thursday class, for the past 6 over years. You ask them, what did I teach? The whiteboard there, the same essential Dhamma. 5 spiritual faculty, 5 mental hindrance, 3 evil roots. The Dhammapada saying verse 1, 2, 3, 21, 22, 23. And the Parinibbana, the advice of the Buddha before his Parinibbana. So only these few things evolving. Why? You think I repeat? You can repeat for 6, 7 years. The same teaching. You think people are stupid? Come there and sit down there, waste 2, 3 hours to listen to your repetition. No, because a lot of people benefited from it, and because it's recorded. Every time I use the same essential Dhamma, but approach it from different angle, share it with different people. That's why it is very different. So now in the recap, I read through, you understand. This is like a reminder for you to focus your cultivation. First recap is the importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, 23, and the final advice of the Buddha before his Parinibbana. Once one comprehends this verse, Dhammapada verse, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful, then ever mindful. And one will like wake up to the deluded dream state. We are seeing the danger of heedlessness. You must see the danger of being heedless, how you get yourself entangled, and how you suffer and become afflicted. And one will then be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. Not until you have this understanding. When you see the danger of heedlessness, you will never seriously cultivate. Then the danger of letting these 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the roots of all evil, from manifesting in your heart. That's why you will be very careful. You will be very, very concerned about the evil roots. Then you put in extra effort to root them out so that they don't arise anymore. Then the importance of arising the 4 right effort to root out the 3 evil roots and the 5 mental hindrance through cultivating the 5 spiritual faculties. Then the importance of cultivating the 5 spiritual faculty to overcome the 5 mental hindrance of mind. Then there is this note. Under Kaya Nupassana, there is a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension, and the 4 types of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. This is the most important cultivation needed to stabilize one's sati or mindfulness via the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence, this is the reason why Brother Teo always said, life itself is the real meditation, and life is our greatest teacher or true teacher. The 4 types of clear comprehension are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation, clear comprehension of suitability, and clear comprehension of non-delusion. All this we covered before. The domain of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, any place, and any time, under any circumstances. Anything external form that is created by mind via perception is only a mental image, just like what I explained just now. It comes and it goes, hence it's impermanent, not surreal and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to use the mind without any attachment and delusion to understand it. Cultivating the 3 turning of the 4 noble truths as taught by the Buddha, leading to the 3 types of wisdom. Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Panya. Maya Panya is very important. For detail, please refer to Brother Teo's Dhamma note, yeah, on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is the email compilation. Yeah? You can get it from the back. Then, Chapter 4. Emphasis on the previous lesson. Emptiness or sunyata is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition versus the term non-self or anatta in Pali, which is an equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. Importance of understanding why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent, bringing about suffering. If we deludedly cling onto it without understanding its empty or anatta nature. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception with clear mindfulness to cognize it as condition arising phenomena. This is the most important in cultivation. You can see how it arises through dependent origination, condition arising. Then you will understand clearly. Yeah? Because mind make are they, mental consciousness are they. Externally can be very solid, very real, but how do you know? You know through perception, mental images. That's why it's not real, not what you think. They arise because mind arise. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception with clear mindfulness to recognize it as condition arising phenomenon. Hence, it is not a permanent and changing entity that we can cling on to, hold on to as the I and the me, or own as the mind. Thus, seeing it as empty, sunyata, or anatta, because it has no apparent reality. Also, a cultivator needs to develop the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind. We are a clear and stable daily mindfulness cultivation. Yeah. Can you understand why form is external manifestation of mind? Yeah. How do you see all this external form? Yeah. How do you see all this external form? Yeah. So fast for God. How do you know the Buddha image? Through perception. That's why this external form is actually external manifestation of your perception, sanya. That's why form is external manifestation of mind. So now you understand. Mind make ade. Because you perceive it. That's why they arise in your mind. And all these external forms are manifestation of mind. So when you understand this, you understand the Dhamma. Because you meditate and you saw this. You awaken to all this. Then you realize what the Buddha said is so true. Our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises like real. Okay, we go on. Form delusion can be very powerful. Oh, sorry. I missed out the last part. Also, a cultivator needs to develop the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind. We are a clear and stable daily mindfulness cultivation. This part is how you develop it. When your mindfulness is stable, you will see it. Then form delusion can be very powerful. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind. Because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle. However, with wisdom, born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is easy to understand. Because external form, they are more gross, easy for you to perceive, understand. But your mind, your mental aggregate and movement, they are imperceptible, understand. They are not so gross. That's why it's so subtle. You cannot see form you cannot see mine. That's why under the Six Patriarch Sutta later on, when the Six Patriarch came out from the forest, he was with the hunters for, I don't know, 15 or 16 years. Then he went to this monastery. Then before he really get to know the abbot, there were two Norwegian monks, Samanera. They will argue about the flag and the wind. You heard of this analogy? Yeah? One of the monks say, the Samanera say, the flag move. Then the other one say, no, the flag didn't move. The wind moved the flag. So who is right? Huh? Who is right? The flag move or the wind move? Huh? Then Hui Ning interjected. You know what Hui Ning say? What did Hui Ning say? Your mind move, you say. Then the abbot got a shock. The abbot knew, wow, this must be a very wise guy. Then he asked him, he said, may I know where are you from? Then he said, I'm a southerner from that place. What is the name? Jiangnan or Jingnan? I forgot already. Yinnan. Immediately the abbot heard, you must be the missing Six Patriarch. Then he said, are you the one? Then Hui Ning said, yes. Then he showed him the robe and the butt. That's why he invited him to take over the monastery and deliver the teaching. That's how he became famous. So the question is, why did he tell the monk the mind move? He has gone beyond mind, the teaching. The way he counter Shen Xiu, his wisdom is beyond mind. But why did he tell the monk your mind move? Correct, that one. But there is another deeper reason, understanding why Hui Ning say your mind move. Because like I said, you cannot see form, you cannot see mind. True or not? So these two guys is arguing about the flag and the wind. This is form, understand or not? They are still confused and deluded by form. That's why they argue, understand or not? One say the flag move. One say the wind more. Then like my daughter said, the flag and the wind, they got no name. They don't know that they are being called by flag and wind. So that is nature's movement, understand? Not? So external form is perceived through mind. So in order to bring them to the mind, he has to prompt, what you call prompt, is the word correct? Prompt them with a gong'an. Instead of arguing. Because if you cannot see form, you will argue. Because you are caught in form delusion. That's why I say form delusion is very powerful. Then you can argue until the cow come home. Correct saying? The cow come home. Take very long. Then that argument is still there. But if you can see beyond form, then you realize, like my daughter say, there is no wind and no flag. Yeah, you label it, understand or not? It's the mind that perceives this movement. That's why the mind moves. And then when the mind moves, you say the flag moves. The other guys might say the wind moves. That's why when you can see form, you only can see mind. That's why he prompt them and bring them to the mind level. Then later on, the story continues. You know what happened? After Hui Ning passed away many years later, then there was a group of monks. They were discussing this topic. Why did Hui Ning say the mind move? Then like the triangle discussion, a lot of theory, a lot of version. Then there was a lady who already enlightened. I think this lady is already an arahant or beyond, is a bodhisattva. He was preparing food for the monk. And the monk feel very funny. Every time the monk, the thought arises, what they want to eat, this lady will prepare those food for them. Then this monk was curious. How come they know what we want to eat? Every day different also. Correct one. Then on that day when they discuss about the flag and the wind, this lady went in and was about to serve the food. So they were busy discussing. Why did Hui Ning tell them the Mai Mu? You know what the lady say or not? Yeah? You know what the lady say? He just say, where got mine? All the monk become enlightened. He take them beyond mind to the true mind. Understand? Then they remember the Hui Ning Puyo. Oh yeah, where got mine? Pop, straight away become enlightened. Oh. So now I tell you the same thing. Where got mine? Why are you not awakened? Because you are not serious, like Brother Jia said. You block yourself. You believe you are incapable. What is so difficult? Xuanhua say, enlightenment and delusion is just a flip of a hand. Understand not? The moment delusion is gone, you awaken. As long as you allow yourself to be tied to your wrong view, your delusion, you refuse to straighten your view, you refuse to acknowledge that you are capable, you have that nature. If you choose not to have that faith, nobody can help you. It's just like our mundane world analogy. Yeah? A successful person and an unsuccessful person, they have already studied, scientists. They got very different outlook of life. If you were to present, let's say, a very good proposal to two of them, you say, hey, you learn how to invest in share. Yeah? You can become very wealthy, very rich. You go to the one that is not successful, you know what he will tell you? Forget about it. Not for me. Cannot. Impossible. I will get burned. I will lose a lot of money. He didn't even want to look at it. This is why you block yourself. You refuse to give yourself a chance. Because you don't have confidence. You don't have faith. You don't want to learn. You don't want to understand. Whereas the other one, who can become very successful and wealthy, is he got nothing to lose, isn't it? Correct or not? Do you have anything to lose by listening to him? Then you should be smart, isn't it? Okay, please explain to me how to do the investment. And then he will guide you. Yeah, he has done it before. Then you say, no harm giving a try. If I make it, I make it. That's how he can become successful. Just like taking the Bodhisattva vow. What have you got to lose? If you close your mind and say, this is not for me, I'm not ready, I'm not qualified. It's your choice, but your life. Then you are like that unsuccessful one. Shut yourself out. Like Brother Chia said, you close your own door. You limit yourself. You yourself obstruct yourself. Nobody stop you. So all this is very easy to understand. So you must have faith, like the Buddha said. Faith in your own self, your own nature, your own possibility. Your possibility is limitless when you have the understanding. But when you don't understand, you limit yourself because you lack faith, you lack confidence. Is that clear? The analogy clear or not? So you want to develop meditation, you have to listen to all this, then reflect, inquire. I got nothing to lose. Then have the faith, sincere, diligently walk the way. Don't try to know. You will realize it. The power will be there. You have to tell yourself, if Hui Ning can do it, I can do it. You dare to say or not? He go to the fifth page there, he say, I seek nothing else except, you must say that, confident, understand not? That's why you take Bodhisattva vow. Laden also shy. Who is shy? Your thought is shy. Understand? This is madness. Understand? Hui Ning, illiterate, barbarian from the south, he dare to say that. You are educated, isn't it? Most of you have education, isn't it? If I'm not wrong, most of you have a first degree, and some maybe master, PhD, and all those things. Why are you like that? because the thought conditions you. You don't have self-confidence. You don't have the understanding of your own potential. Your limitless nature within. That's why nobody can come near you when you realize your true nature. Why can't you just have that understanding and develop the confidence in you? When you are confident of yourself, half the battle is won. You heard of this, isn't it? Without self-confidence, you are a failure, understand? So self-confident, like the spiritual faculty of Sadha, is very important. So I hope the Huining's flag and wind story, you can get some understanding from it, and it will benefit you if you inquire into it and develop the deep understanding. I like best is when the lady say, "Where got my three words only, all the monk become enlightened." It's possible, isn't it? Because they will reconnect back to Huining's poem. Then they realize, yeah, originally it was empty. Where can the dust alight? Then all these are trapped in form delusion. Trapped in mind delusion. Oh, rub off already. Jinhao rub off already. Just now I explained it. Yeah? Learn how to see form. The unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. Learn how to see the mundane mind. The unreality of this mind, like the Buddha said. Even Kuan Yin Bodhisattva also came to realize when he illuminated on the five skandhas, the five aggregates, he realized they are all empty, not real, impermanent, non-self, empty, anatta. So all this is how you go beyond form, go beyond mind. Then you realize if I see beyond form, beyond mind, I realize the true mind, the unconditioned, the essence of mind. Then you will come to realize that, like Huining said, essentially, it is already perfect. It doesn't need anything. That's why the Heart Sutta also say, there is no addition, no subtraction. All this you will come to understand as you develop the cultivation, as you awaken. Okay, we better go on, otherwise we are still at chapter 4. Form delusion can be very powerful. This one I finish. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind, because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle. This one I explained already. However, with wisdom, born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion can will cease to be leading to enlightenment in the here and now. Okay. That one also we have done. Number 4. A samana is a renounced holy person in the robe, seriously cultivating the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. He or she is also usually referred to as the one who is already enlightened. The term is used as opposed to the other term, Brahmin, who study the Vedas during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. So a samana is an enlightened being, whereas a Brahmin is the Hindu cultivator who studied the Vedas and all those things. Vedanta, the Vedas. In fact, in the Theravada teaching, you see a lot of this word samana, the Buddha referred to. Then the next one is, to a samana, spiritual understanding is very important, because without spiritual understanding, one cannot be free. One cannot understand the problem and realities of life and existence. There is a recently printed Dhamma book for free distribution by Wave, and the title of the book is Samana, on the life of the late Long Ta Mahabhava. How many of you have seen the book? You haven't seen the book. About how he become a monk, then become a samana. Our Kayanamita Fund has also donated towards its printing for free distribution. Hence, we are given some copies of the books for free distribution from Wave. And anyone who is interested in having a copy can request it from me. So I don't know whether I still got it or not. This was so many years ago, 2-3 years ago. Then in the recap, Brother Teo re-emphasized the following important Dhamma. The importance of understanding true emptiness is wonderful existence, leading to the ability to live life meaningfully and to the fullest. True blessing comes from your own cultivation via karmic inheritance and nothing else. That is, they are not due to your luck or feng shui, etc. So now you understand, huh? Don't be gullible. The importance of cultivating a very stable sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness or apamada throughout the day. This has been emphasized every now and then. So if you can get it, you better diligently train your mind to be heedful. Then you are destined for enlightenment. Then number 4, importance of repentance and asking for forgiveness sincerely. When you forgive someone, you actually free yourself from the evil roots of anger, hatred and delusion. This one you understand, isn't it? When you forgive somebody, you free yourself. You know how you free yourself? Because when you forgive means you don't develop the anger towards that person anymore, isn't it? So you root out the evil root of anger, which is the root of all evil. That's how you free your mind from the 3 evil, the 3 poison. That's how you free yourself. So it's like the law of karma. When you give to your own nature. You are not giving to others. That's why when you forgive your own self, your own nature. So all these are important understanding of the nature's law. Then go on to the next part. Heart Sutta Lesson 4. Oh, that is the page of the commentary books. We are still at the introduction, Roman number. We haven't gone into the Heart Sutta, that's why that Karyamita was not really that happy. He said, why are we wasting so much time on the introduction? Then here is the other part of the introduction. Master Shen Hua's very unique birth and life history. On Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's birthday, the master dreamed that an old lady wearing a patch robe and a string of beads appeared to guide him. This unique birth and life history of Master Xuan Hua provided a condition for Brother Teo to also share a bit of his unique spiritual affinity and encounter with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in his early years. And details are described by him during the sharing on that day. For detail, please refer to the web link that contains the recording as produced by Oh, Brother Sri Anna, still have. I thought it was Miss Lee. Yeah? How come go to Sri Anna? In 1986, Brother Teo and his whole family took refuge under Master Xuan Hua. Yeah, he was my first refuge teacher. And apart from taking the 5 precepts, the other condition is to finish the 10,000 bow of reciting homage to thee, my original teacher, Namo Sakyamuni Buddha. But what he taught us is in Mandarin, Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Po, then we prostrate, we pay our respect. So we're supposed to do it within 3 months latest. Brother Teo completed it within less than 2 months. According to Brother Teo, this bowing, if done mindfully, that's why I didn't see anybody doing bowing this time, I don't know why. I already told you, Sun Yan Fa Si also, through the bowing to Kuan Yin, developed a fantastic mind to become awakened. So all this, if you understand, you have faith, you should do. Don't try to know. If done mindfully and with very strong faith, sadha and virya on the spiritual zeal, it can lead to a very stable daily mindfulness very quickly. You bow until the body and mind become one. When sati arise, your form and mind will know. Then you know what sati is. Body and mind as one. That's it. Then there's a question. Is bowing another technique to develop mindfulness that is similar to walking and sitting meditation? What do you think? It's no different, isn't it? But bowing got additional benefit. You know what are the additional benefits? You pay respect, isn't it? It's a meritorious action, isn't it? And you pay respect to who? To Buddha, no? To Bodhisattva, no? The field of merits is limitless. As long as you are sincere, you understand. You bow with understanding. That's why you want to do merit. No need to pay money. Just bow. Understand? Ah, yeah. Pass the mic to our sister. I think Sarah, Han's sister, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's recorded, it's recorded, yeah. No, just speak on it, yeah. Can hear, we can hear you.
Since you talk about this bowing, yeah, right? Yeah. Actually, last year, I did this bowing for 2 over hours.
Wow, that is very long, very good.
Yes, actually, I had...
Did your knee develop the skin?
No, perfectly, very good. Everything was a blessing, I think.
Your knee don't give you a problem?
No, actually, my knee was not very good in the beginning.
Oh, then after
but
that,
after
become
bowing,
very good.
My knee is perfect.
Wow, sadhu. Those who got knee problem, you remember what she tell you. This is direct experience.
This one is my true experience, so I can tell you, you know.
Very good, sadhu.
I did the bowing on the Vesak day.
Oh, sadhu.
Yes, it was the Vesak at the Koming San
temple. Oh, very good.
It was a midnight procession, you know, that we do the three-step one bow,
sadhu.
The bow,
yeah,
bow, bow.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like thousands of people doing the bowing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything just happened, flow in accord, and I think it's just... The nature just happened
that,
you know.
You were moved by yourself. Sadhu, very good.
For me, actually, I didn't get the ticket for the so-called ticket to do the bowing.
But
those without the ticket, they have to queue behind those tickets. So just quickly, I tell you, I didn't have the ticket, so I had to do it after 10 p.m. Okay, so then... It's first come, first serve. You just go to the hall, you queue.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, so many people queuing. So we said we count how many people per each batch, you know. Then we said by the time we get to our turn, it's probably after 3 a.m. in the morning,
So
I said, my niece said, wow, like that, wait so long, how? Then I said, never mind, you just wait. Then,
sadhu. Very good.
So we waited, but... Very nicely happened that another lady,
correct.
She got 2 free tickets. She offered to us,
sadhu.
Then we said, why? Because she couldn't use it. She had 5 people. They have to do it together. So they waited. So give us the ticket. So we immediately able to join the queue that was the batch. So-called fifth batch.
Sadhu.
So we joined. So it happened that way. And then when we queue, by the time we finish, it was 3 a.m. in the morning, you know.
Wow, sadhu.
We were there like 10 p.m., finished at 3 a.m. Then after we finish already, do all our things, then we said, time to leave. Then it has thunder, lightning, rain, you know.
So nature's manifestation.
So the whole procession suspended.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah, then those people behind, that gave me the ticket, they couldn't do, you know.
Couldn't have the opportunity.
We had such a good opportunity to do. And when I do, I tell you the experience was so unexpected. I didn't expect the way it happened, you know. As I walk, do the bowing, my body is like lighter and lighter. So easy to do. My knee never hurts. I thought my pants will have a hole, you know, all the bowing, It's not like this kind of floor, you know. Very rough concrete, you know. So I thought my pants were tear, like that. But it didn't. Everything very nice, you know.
Sadhu.
And my knee, no bruises, no nothing, you know. And so because of the lightning and thunder, we had to catch a taxi home because no car park and so forth. So we took a taxi home. And the queue, can you imagine the queue? And there's no... queue taxi stand. People just queue on by the side of the road. You just flag the taxi and jump in. So
very
this
good.
Taxi come, you know, stop the far end passenger, you know, the customer waiting. It just didn't pick up the passenger, next one didn't pick, next one didn't pick, then come to
come
altar.
To you.
Go there, yes. You just jump in and then the rain, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, that's why you are very blessed.
So you see everything
you
just...
You are protected by a lot of
like
good
that,
things.
You know?
Yeah, this is what normal cultivator who have the good past, they will experience. I can tell you, my life is like perfect. Like you are so lucky. How can you be born so lucky, extraordinarily lucky? No such thing.
I cannot imagine, why is it like that?
Fall into
but
place.
It was so wonderfully. Yeah.
No, these are the signs that will show it to you to connect you back to your faith so that you have this confidence. You can see something is happening.
Yes, yes.
That's why when I was young, I saw all these things that I knew. This nature is different. There is something behind. Otherwise, it cannot be like that.
It was amazing, and the whole day it was like, wow, it was so like so happy to there, happy during, happy going home.
That
and for months, it's
like what
happiness, you know.
What brother
never stop, the happiness never stop.
Yeah, the joy.
The happiness never stop one, no?
Yeah.
So, you all must go and
do it. Yeah. Wow, you can't laugh until like that. Sadhu.
So I tell my sister, then she said, this is not luck, you know, this is not luck.
Yeah, not luck one, nothing to do with luck one.
It's not by accident, it's not by accident, no luck, you know.
And you know why you come to this retreat or not? Because your sister has to go into the surgery, operation, and you take over.
Oh, but actually we came...
Oh, both of them registered.
Yeah, both of us registered.
Okay.
Actually, I wasn't the...
You know what Han told me or not before that? He came to the Tuesday class. He made one pure wish. He said, brother, I got this sister in Singapore, he told me. And I don't know whether it was you or what. He said, she is very sincere. I want to bring her to the retreat, he said. Oh, I said, Sadhu, very good. I said, I rejoice.
So I just want to share, the bowing really...
Yeah. Very, very powerful.
You think it's just like this, but it's really powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then that is the real cultivation.
Yeah.
Mindfulness.
And then I want to tell you about this daily mindfulness. So I was doing my housework, right? My kids have to ask me to do this, my daughter ask me to do that.
Yes,
so I said, I never get a chance to sit in my meditation,
So
I said, never mind, I was seated down, I said, I want to do this, but my thought disturbed me, said, I haven't done this, you know. I jump up and then go and do it, you know. And quickly, of course, mindfully, I was thinking, you know, must be mindful, you know. So I go back to my seat, then after that, I have to jump up again, think of another chore that my kids asked. So I have to go and do, so repeatedly, I do a few times of this, you know. And then finally, I sat down. I tell you,
very
it was
different.
Joy, pity, just
come, you know. Just rupture out.
Yeah, just rupture out. It's like, then I say, hey, what is this, you know?
Sadhu.
Yes, it is so amazing, you know.
You know what is that or not? You have done it before in the past. Now it's coming back to you because
there is
condition.
That's what my sister was telling me. It's like you are
that's
connecting
why he was
to the
so
past.
Keen. He was. She was so keen. To get you to join this retreat, she told me earlier on, a few months back. Then she said, how I wish my sister can come with her. I said, don't worry.
Actually, I have a lot of commitment, other things to do, like classes to attend also as well. So I said, okay, never mind. I said, I tell my sister, I do not know when the next time you will be together, joining this such class retreat. I said, okay, never mind, I just... come and join.
Find time.
Find time and join.
Sadhu. So let us rejoice with her. Good sharing. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. See? From nowhere, a housewife just developed because of faith. If given the condition you are in, her condition, I tell you, most of you would have called it a day. Because you count. By the time you reach you 3 a.m., you'd have to stay there and wait. But because of the faith, because of condition, then good people will come.
So these good people come and give me the ticket, and I also don't know her.
You know why? Last time you give people before.
Okay.
That's why you can have this. When we were in Thailand, Wat Pa Pong, Wat Pa Nana Cha, same, the Thai people, they were going for Katina. Then he saw one big group of Malaysians. we happened to be there, you know, because we were on the spiritual trip in Thailand. Then they say, today is Katina, you are very lucky. Then these Thai people, when they ask, they say, oh, you are from Malaysia. I say, Kun, Malaysia. So they all happily use their own rope and offer it to Kayamita and let Kayamita offer. He said, you all come from so far. You offer, he said, they all can wait, he said. There are such people, understand? And you have that part of me because in the past you are like them. You offer your rope to other people too. That's a law of karma. It will manifest. And you reap what you sow. That's why when you are kind, sincere, generous, you are giving to your own nature. You are not giving to others. When you understand. This is how Dhamma actually manifests. Sadhu.
While doing the bowing and the steps, is totally nothing in
your mind. You just accord and flow. Body and mind. That's why she can
do it. It's like floating, you know. You're not doing anything, like floating, correct. Your knee not pain.
Not bruised. Sadhu. Very good. Thank you. Bring the mic back. Sadhu. Thank you so much, Sarah, for the good sharing. So those who already long time in the Dhamma, the easiest way to meditate is bow. No need to do anything. By bowing, you know you develop how much wholesomeness or not merits. First, if you can bow, means you lower your ego, understand or not? You know what is ego, isn't it? You have humility. You can pay respect to great being, to worthy ones. Last time, during the early day, when I first came to Brickfield, I remember, we are as a university graduate, and the worst is, you are a very good student. You thought you were very, very smart. No? Like Brother Jia said, we thought, the ego in mind, thought we are very smart. So, we saw people bowing. How can you say, just bow like that? Why do you bow? For me, I don't do when I don't understand. Then later on, the verse is when I read the Abhidhamma book. He talked about four elements, the Buddha. That time I cannot understand. I say I study chemistry. You know, got 200 over elements. Four elements is too primitive, too crude. That time. I didn't connect yet. I didn't have the understanding. Then I left that book, Abhidhamma book, in the shell. Then when the year 86 onward, when I cultivate, then I took the book out again. I read. Then I understand why the Buddha say four elements. It's to simplify things. That time science and technology was not so advanced. How to teach all the 200 over elements? Understand? How do you know that carbon is six? Oxygen is 8, is an atomic number. I forgot it. Hydrogen 2. We all study science later on. 2,000 over years only we know. The time of the Buddha, he doesn't know. If he can come out with the four elements, he already very good. That's like in China also about the four elements. So at that time, I didn't understand. Then the ego was there. You find it so difficult to just bow. But then later on, as I developed the understanding, then I realized bowing has got so much benefits. And bowing can be so beautiful. Then I start to develop the bowing because the respect is a basic humility, basic virtue as a human being. You pay respect to the worthy ones, people who are worthy of respect. To the elders, to people who have gratitude towards you, where you have gratitude towards them, like your parents gave you life, brought you up, sacrificed for you, and provide so many things for you to come to this world, to have the education, to have the three basic needs, food and shelter, education, everything. So that gratitude will allow you to do it, then you pay respect. Then later on I realized as I pay respect, five or six things come to you. First I realized it lowered my ego. I developed humility I can just bow to any teacher, anybody whom I have gratitude towards, whom I can feel is worthy of respect, even to the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, and the great beings. Then as I bow, I exercise my body, like what Sarah realized. Then this body becomes more healthy. Yeah. Then as you do it with understanding, you develop mindfulness. Do you understand? That's how mindfulness can come. Then when you pay respect, you develop the faith in the person you are paying respect to. That's like the spiritual faculty of Saddha. Then through contemplating who the Buddha is and how great a being he is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching is, it will drive you to have the spiritual zeal to walk this way. That's why Saddha Virya leading to Sati. Then all this come about. Then after the 10,000 bow, the Sati just came. Yeah. And that time I also met Ajahn Yantra, who said, we choose aware every action, every moment in the present. Then after the bowing, the Sati came. Then I do the daily mindfulness. Within 2 weeks, the stability of mindfulness just come. And all this is possible because in the past, this nature has done before. That's why don't be shy, don't be afraid to bow. Don't go and listen to people. Mahayana, pure land teaching, chan, chan, chan also can become enlightened. You think they chan, chan, chan become enlightened. You know what is chanting to them or not? They chant the Buddha's name, they have faith in the Buddha, Saddha, Virya. Then they chant until the Buddha's name, the four how and the mindfulness become one. That's how they have very stable sati. And when they stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. That's why when the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi is there, they will have wisdom. They can understand many things. Then the sutta they read, they will understand. Because their mind has developed the silent mind. Then through this constant faith, they connect to the vow of the great being, Amitabha Buddha. Your vow and their vow mesh. They call it xiang ying. Then you will benefit from what the vow manifests. Then you will progress. You will awaken. That's why all these are possible when you understand. In the Han Sutta book at the back, there is an appendix. I don't know what is the page of the appendix. I think Brother Song will know. Huh? Appendix 1. It's chanting meditation. Mahayana chanting. Is it meditation? Is it appendix 1? 3. Appendix 3. You all go back and read up yourself later. That one is very good. It explained very clearly. Okay, now I have to move on. Thank you so much for the sharing, Sarah. Rejoice. Okay, what's the time now? You have to meditate already. Okay, 8 o'clock. Before 8 more minutes. After that, we stop for meditation. Okay, we were at 2.1, third paragraph. Oh, I finished that one, sorry. Question 1. Is bowing another technique? We were here. The understanding of it is very important. There is not much meaning to your cultivation if you just follow instruction without understanding. That's why meditation is to be done with understanding. You must understand why you bow and what are you doing in the name of meditation. That is, do you just follow the instruction to do certain things via any method or technique? Thinking that when you are doing all this, then you are meditating. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha cannot begin unless one has developed the training of the mind to be heedful with sati or mindfulness within. The various objects of meditation used in conjunction with the various method and technique are only initial skillful means used to train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought most of the time. The main purpose of the meditation object is to anchor the mind to it so that it is always in the moment, mindful and aware of the object of meditation without thought. Once this training is done, the trained mind will be silent with awareness within, and such a mind is in a meditative state to see things as they are without any concept, idea, or words. That's why if you do anapanasati correctly, you can have this type of mindfulness. But please remember, don't go too deep into the absorption. When you have continuous mindfulness, very strong, you can also go into energy field. You will go into absorption. Then you will go into apana samadhi. You will build up the energy also. During the early years, I tried it before. I went into it. That's why I realized later on, I had to release it out. When the above is understood, then any method or technique can be used to train the mind to be heedful initially. But finally, we need to maintain or develop the ultimate meditative mind with silent inner awareness, where the mind must have no dwelling, as per the Diamond Sutta. Then one must let go of the meditation object and silence one's mind to develop the more refined mindfulness within. It's just like swimming. The float is just an initial skillful means, object of meditation, to help keep one afloat. And as long as you still hold on to the float, then one will never understand the actual swimming. True or not, you depend on the float, you will never understand the real swimming. Because to swim with the float and without the float are two totally different experiences. Bowing or reverential salutation is one of the 10 meritorious actions, and is a very important virtue that comes with so many benefits and advantages. It is part of the opening and closing puja or devotional practice as recommended by the Buddha to help one establish the faith, the sadha, in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the spiritual zeal or virya and the development of sati, which is the third spiritual faculty. One can then bow mindfully and with understanding via a composed mind with strong faith, sadha and virya. Bowing is not either worshipping, but instead it is reverential salutation done out of great respect and gratitude for someone who has taught us well, like the Buddha, who is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Since it is a meritorious action, the field of merits is immeasurable if it is done with understanding to the worthy one or enlightened one. Such merit can be made use of to arise the causes and conditions for us to progress quickly along the path of Dhamma, we are invoking the power of merits. Apart from helping us to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, bowing can also help us to cultivate humility, help exercise, just like I explained just now, our body, while establish ourselves in mindfulness training. See the benefit? You somehow don't want to bow. Ego very big. Also, according to the Buddha, four things grow if you pay respect sincerely to elders and worthy ones. What are the four things? Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. You know the meaning or not? Huh? The meaning is, ayu is long life. Then sukang, wana is fair complexion. Lady will need this. Sukang is happiness. Then palang is strength, both spiritual and physical strength. All these four blessings are very important in life. True or not? Yeah? You want all these four things or not? Yeah? Ayu is long life. Everybody look forward to long life. But nowadays people are very smart. Long life without good health, no use. miserable. So maybe one missing. Long life, ayu, good health. Sukang, of course, happiness usually one, isn't it? Then wana is for the lady. Then palang, of course, you must have strength spiritually and physically. Okay, we go to the next one. Can you show us how to do the bowing? Oh, this one also must show. Is it the Theravada five-point prostration or the Mahayana way of standing up, then go down to prostrate and come up again? Both also can be done. Understand? Yeah? As long as you do it with understanding, sincerity, mindfully. Yeah? Then I see what I answered last time. I also forgot what I answered. Whichever way that suits you more, use it. That is a better answer, isn't it? Yeah? The most important thing is, when you bow, do it mindfully with your strong faith, sadha and virya, and do it with proper understanding. Always remember, one can only do one thing at a time. That is, either you are mindful with the moment in silent awareness without thought, or you are lost in thought, hence heedless. That's why Sarah can explain to you, your brain completely empty. Bow until like that. Understand? As you bow, don't go and think, aiyo, got people look at me or not. Aiyo, leche la. So old already, some more bow in front of statue. What am I doing? Like that, you bow until the cow come home, so nothing will happen. Understand? The thought is so actively creating this thing inside there. That's why don't try to know, just do. Then body and mind as one, no thought. Oh, like you say, empty inside there. Nothing. Kosong. And everything go her way. There was so much joy. Bow until pity and sukha come. You can. Means your silence, your stillness, your mindfulness is very good. There's a pity and sukha come. Really? Come. Then, I remember when I bow until got one stage, how come the body and mind like automatic one? Like, by itself one, the mindfulness. Then I realized that is the tea. Not what they teach. Not the nothing. Not the all those funny type of vipassana. Then I realized, no wonder people cannot do it. Where they use the thought to be mindful. They want to be mindful. And they practice mindfulness. Do you need to practice mindfulness? Who is practicing? The thought is practicing. Understand or not? Mindfulness cannot be practiced. Mindfulness is there only when you are without thought. Understand? The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Why must you practice mindfulness? People who don't understand practice mindfulness. So now, I hope you understand. Then wake up. Don't sleep anymore. Otherwise, the triangle, you never know how to go home. You're always asleep. That's why the Buddha is the awakened one. You are the snoring one. Still sleeping. The next one is also equally beautiful. When the mind is composed and without the five mental hindrance, mindfulness will be there naturally. The faith will make your mind calm, peaceful, composed. Then, so develop the faith, compose the mind, and then chant the salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha, then bow mindfully to develop the sati and mindfulness within. After a while, if you are sincere, patient, and do it with understanding, then it will bring about the condition for sati and mindfulness to arise. Mindfulness arises through understanding and perseverance. And when mindfulness is firmly established, there will be so much joy. See? Like Sarah said, the piti, the sukha, the joy arise. The mind is so silent, so light. He also told you, like very light. Not to say she levitating. Understand? She feels very light. So composed, so still, yet fully aware within throughout the day. And this can be done. It's not a joke. Understand? It's not to make you gullible, attract you. It's possible. It can be done. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell you. Then this one, in every movement and every action, there is so much clarity and awareness within the heart area. It then starts to see things as they are, and direct knowledge and vision of the reality keep on arising. Things that are there, all this while, is three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, etc., which the normal living being never see, suddenly become very clear. This is the reason why Brother always say to us, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. So, do you see? Do you see? But the Hokkien people are very scared. See, die. What up we see? Means you haven't seen. The direct seeing hasn't come. So, what up we see? So the pun is there. But the one that had the direct seeing never die. So understanding is very important. We have to stop. 8 o'clock, I think. 8:02. Okay, we stop. We stop here, 2.4. Okay. The chanting is going to start. So you meditate with the chanting. Oh, they started already. Oh, not that loud. Now you can meditate. I give you half an hour. 8:30, we will do the evening chanting.